flight. We really enjoyed our trip over. We always enjoy our trip over to here. So during a recent conversation, and some of you may recall this conversation, the question was asked, is it possible to love someone without liking them? You know, this question came from a conversation that we actually had here a while back. And the conversation was in reference to, you know, what our nation is doing and its leadership and some of the courts, and then also some personal issues in there. But during this conversation, during this discussion, it was fairly easy for many people, including myself, to say that, sure, you know, it's possible to love someone and not really like them. So this was kind of the conclusion some of us came to, but is this necessarily the correct conclusion? You know, is there more to this? Is there more to this question that we really need to look into? Did we really answer it correctly? Now, it might seem like an easy question. It might seem like a very easy question. I mean, who here, you know, likes our current U.S. president and the administration? No show of hands, please. Don't show of hands. Now, who here likes the group ISIS? I'm sure we're all familiar with them. You know, they go around kidnapping and torturing and murdering, you know, thousands of people. So, I mean, can we say we like them? And to bring it a little closer to home, something you may have experienced personally, who here likes the person when you're driving down the highway that cuts you off because they're texting and driving and not paying attention to what's going on? Can we say at that moment that we like them? Well, I think there's a little bit more to this that we might need to get into, we might need to understand. So with that, in this message, we're going to try to better understand what's expected of us as Christians pertaining to those people who might be a little more difficult for us to get along with, you know, people that are not as easily liked. So if you like a title for this message, I just titled it, Can We Love Without Liking? Can we love without liking? So with that, we'll go ahead and begin. The first question we'll ask is, what does Scripture say about how we are to regard others? So, of course, for any of these answers, we go to Scripture, right? So with this, we will go to the book of Romans. We'll go to Romans chapter 12. So if you'd like to turn there with me. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to begin in verse 9. Romans chapter 12. Beginning of verse 9. And I believe this translation I have here today is the English Standard, so it might be a little bit different than what you have in front of you there. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And from there, we're going to skip down to verse 14. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14 follows this up by saying, Let all you do be done in love. So as we see here, our love should be genuine. Other words for genuine are honest, real, sincere, undisputable, and my favorite, unaffected. Our love needs to be unaffected by other emotions. You know, we should not only bless those who persecute us, but we should also not curse them. You know, who here has cursed or thought something ill against someone you felt you didn't like? You know, we should not give thought to repay evil for evil. You know, who here has wanted to get even with someone that you didn't like? Someone's done something to you wrong and you know it. You know, have you ever felt the need to get even with them? You know, we must not be overcome by evil. You know, when we limit how we feel towards someone, we open up our mind to thoughts of ill will, thoughts of anger, of being judgmental, even feelings of malice towards someone. You know, these emotions do not allow for us to do all we do in love. So I believe from this scripture, the biblical description of how to love someone tends to leave no room in there for dislike of that person. So this leads me then to the second question, because as I said, when we had this conversation, I was on the other side of the fence for this. So this leads me to my second question. Do we truly dislike the person? Do we truly dislike the person? If we do truly dislike someone, then we need to ask ourselves, are we displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Could the issue that's causing us to dislike someone, to dislike another person, could it be an issue with our own heart? That's something that we need to look at. So with this, we're going to take a look at the fruit of the Spirit, and we're also going to take a look at what is not the fruit of the Spirit. So if you will, turn with me over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 22. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, in contrast to this, let's look at the traits that are opposite of the fruits of the Spirit. So for that, we're going to stay right where we are and just jump up a few verses to verse 19. So beginning in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So when we display thoughts and attitudes of dislike towards a person, you know, we might be displaying strife and enmity and dissensions and divisions and maybe even fits of anger, you know, if we really think we truly dislike a person. You know, sometimes dislike is caused from envy and jealousy. To truly dislike a person is to stray from the fruit of the Spirit and into the works of the flesh, by definition. We should never dislike someone personally. These attitudes are not an attitude of love, and they're not a fruit of the Spirit. You know, when Christ was being crucified and Christ was on the cross, he did not say, I love you all, but I dislike you for what you're doing. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So there was no room in there for Christ and his attitude to physically and personally dislike the people who were putting him through that torment. See, we'll bring this point out a little bit further by turning to 1 John chapter 3. So if you turn over with me just a little bit to 1 John, book of 1 John chapter 3. And we'll begin in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. We'll begin in verse 18. Little children, Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him, speaking of God. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and we do whatever pleases Him. You know, all of mankind is made in God's image. The 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 tells us that God desires for all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. All people, not just us sitting here today, not just those who have been called before, but all people. So we must love, and thereby not dislike, God's future family in deed and in truth. If we do not, then our hearts will condemn us before God, just as it's stated in Scripture. We must also do what pleases God, which is to hate sin. And sin, of course, is a separation from God. So this then brings me to my third question or third point. What should we dislike then? We know we must love everyone, and we know we should not dislike someone personally. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. So what should we dislike? You know, as we know, mankind, the world around us, is steeped full of sin, and it seems to be getting worse and worse every day. You can't turn on the news and not see something that is appalling to us or should be appalling to us. You know, the world is just consumed with sin. But, you know, the things that we should dislike are not the people that are committing this sin, but those sins themselves. The things that separate the people from God. That's what we should be disliking. You know, we should dislike ungodly character. We should dislike human nature, which is really Satan's nature. Satan has created this nature, and we fall into it. We should dislike the attitudes of the flesh, like sexual immorality, homosexuality, impurity, and those of the like. We should also dislike the habits that go against God's nature, like cursing, spreading rumors, negative attitudes, and any bad habit that, there again, goes against the fruit of the Spirit. We should dislike all of these. And we should absolutely, absolutely dislike the breaking of God's law, the breaking of God's commands, and breaking of God's statutes. You know, we should have no room for acceptance of those things. You know, all these traits, all these characteristics, all these attitudes are what people display, and not just people in the world. We can all fall into these attitudes, and probably all have at one point or another, have strayed from the fruit of the Spirit. And we should absolutely dislike these characteristics. However, we should not allow our hearts to become so hardened that we neglect to make the distinction between the person and their sin. We must be able to discern between the person and the nature which Satan has polluted them. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it quickly. Philippians 1, verse 9 through 11 states, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So, brethren, in conclusion, we see that Scripture explains to us how we should love one another. It doesn't leave room in there for personal dislike, you know, for dislike of someone personally. You know, the Scripture gives us the definition of love, but nowhere in there does it give us the definition of dislike. You know, it doesn't even relate that. You know, if we're having those feelings of dislike towards our brother, we need to look at ourselves, we need to look at our heart and see if we are adhering to the fruit of the Spirit, which we should, or we should be striving to do that. We should certainly not accept or approve of anything that separates us from God, but as was stated in the prayer and as we've read here, we're all made in the image of God. We're all God's children. We should remember that. So, brethren, dislike the nature of sin, and dislike separation from God. But for the sake of our own righteousness, let's remember that all of mankind is made in the image of God. And to dislike someone personally is to dislike God's most sacred creation.